reported an urgent and horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story of the day, presented by Steamway Florida Ceiling, family-owned for over 35 years. Check them out online, steamwayfloridaceiling.com. Aaron Rodgers got himself a new weapon. The Jets signed former L.A. Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams on Tuesday. Signed a one-year contract that has a maximum value of $15 million, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Still shocked that the Chargers kind of went into this fire sale mode. Moving on from Mike Williams, trading Keenan Allen. And then obviously Austin Eckler's gone. It's like, get rid of all the weapons. Harbaugh's here, and I guess I can make Justin Herbert into a quarterback that raises all boats. And that's where they'll go. So Rodgers gets a new weapon. Angel, I got to ask, man, who is Jerry Jeudy's agent? Because that guy, I'd be calling him today if I played professional sports. I'd be making a call. He just got Jerry Jeudy a three-year, $58 million contract with the Cleveland Browns. I'm trying to figure this out, man. I mean, somebody must really see the upside. The three-year extension worth up to $58 million, $41 million guaranteed. And I'm looking at his stats over the years, and I get it. You can make a case and say the dude has gone through the coaching and quarterback carousel in Denver. That is true. But again, the eye test, watching Jeudy play, there were a lot of times he just didn't make plays. He didn't make the easy plays. Didn't get a foot down. Didn't make the open catch. You know, didn't go up and grab it. He didn't do a lot of those things. He wasn't special for the Broncos. Courtland Sutton, I think, makes a case to be more special than Jerry Jeudy. Jeudy had played 4 years for the Broncos, and in 4 years, he had 211 catches, 3,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. I mean, those are average wide receiver numbers. When did they select Jeudy at? What year was he selected? Or what? He was selected in 2020. Was he 10th or something? 15? Was he 15?
14, maybe?
He was 15. You got it. But still, you expect 15. You know, first round pick, you expect bigger numbers than that. But, I mean, you watched a lot of Jerry Jeudy before he played in the NFL, obviously at Alabama. More of a concentrated system than what we saw with the Broncos in the last 4 years. So, again, as much as I'm not really a Jeudy fan, I wasn't happy with the draft pick of Jerry Jeudy. And I was never like, oh, this guy's going to get it going. Oh, this is going to be a special guy. Courtland Sutton, I found myself falling into that once in a while. I do want to at least give him one out here. He has been on a terrible organization that he hasn't had a consistent quarterback. I think 2020 was the year he had Drew Lock, right? He had Drew Lock. The next year was Teddy Bridgewater. And then he had Russell Wilson for 2 years. And you could almost say Russell Wilson was two different guys. Year one with the Broncos, really bad. Year two, in my opinion, I know stats will lie, average. So Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, Russell Wilson 0.0, and Russell Wilson 1.0. That's what Jerry Jeudy had. So I'm kind of bucking the trend here on, like, Judy's washed. He's a complete bust. Yes, he was a bust for the Broncos. He was a bust. When you consider a first-round pick, top 20, he was a bust. Does he still have that ability? His athleticism and his speed and his route-running ability is there. How do you put it all together? And maybe Cleveland sees something that we don't, or they just have a master negotiator there. There's something there with Jeudy. There is. I don't know what that's going to be, if he'll ever be a 100-yard pass-catching kind of guy, or 100 receptions pass-catching kind of guy. I don't know. But there's something there. The best output he had was 2022, which was, interestingly enough, Russell Wilson .0, the bad year for Russ. 67 receptions for 972 yards and 6 touchdowns. That was his best year. Outside of that, he has not been able to get over the 55 reception mark or was able to get over the 900-yard mark. What's your line for, okay, give me your line for an elite receiver. What kind of stat line are you looking at the end of the year? It could be vague. It could be, you know, ballpark.
At least 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns.
100-plus catches?
Sure. I mean, you could do all that with less than 100 catches. So, I mean, I'm not big on it's like yards and touchdowns is big for me.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just say for the sake of argument, 80-plus catches. With those stats you just gave out. That's upper echelon. That's your boy Tyreek Hill territory.
Yeah, okay? Tyreek, Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
Those guys.
Those are the guys. And then there's the tier. That's the great guys. Those are the elite receivers. And then there's the tier below them. And that's probably like, I don't know.
850 to 1,000.
Yeah. 850 to 1,000. 60 to 70 plus catches. 5 plus touchdowns.
Yep.
Right? So Judy was... If we're saying 50 to 60, to 70 plus or whatever, Judy was in that territory once. Like, if you want to go elite receiver, good receiver, Jerry Judy was in that, as far as stats will tell you, he was in that territory in 2022. And then the tier below that is basically everything under 50 receptions, everything under 500 yards, everything under 5 touchdowns, right? And that's like, you're just a receiver.
As your third, fourth string guys.
Yep, he's just out there. He can catch once in a while. He might come up with some nice plays and maybe even have a breakout game, and then he'll kind of go back into the shadows. Well, he's lived in that world, again, depending on how you want to look at it, yardage-wise, 2021, again, that was Teddy Bridgewater, you know, clock manager or a game manager guy, 467 yards. No touchdowns that year. He only played in 10 games, 38 receptions, targeted 56 times. So clearly that was a bad year. Last year, Russell Wilson was better. Jerry Judy had 54 receptions, so obviously way below that threshold of being good. 758 yards, not quite getting over that 800-yard mark, and then only 2 touchdowns. So again, the stats can tell you a story. They kind of tell the real story about Judy. They really do. I mean, a lot of times stats are misleading. This kind of tells you who he is. He was close to becoming that good receiver and then took that step back. So if he could have followed up 2023 with something closer to what he did in 2022, then I think people would feel a lot better about Judy. But you also saw the little things that don't show up in the stat line. You know, we see drops show up in the stat line, but, you know, again, just how those happen, not getting the foot down in the end zone a couple of times, you know, but I'll give you this, man, and I know you've defended Russ a little bit more recently, and I've been more critical. Russ missed Judy a lot of open times, and Judy was clearly frustrated about that. I'm actually bucking the trend here a little bit, Angel. I think Judy might, I don't know if he's worth that contract. Maybe he is. I think he might turn it around.
Yeah, he was, you know, pretty clear-cut wide receiver one in college. Mike Locksley was his OC for 1 year, and then Steve Sarkisian the second year, or technically his junior year. And, you know, he's playing with guys like Henry Ruggs and Devontae Smith at that time, and it was clear he was the number one guy. Going into the draft, it was him or CeeDee Lamb as your top two receivers. And you would draft Judy thinking he's our wide receiver one. If you were to draft him, same stuff coming out of college, you would look at him as, hey, that's going to be our Justin Jefferson. That's going to be our Ja'Marr Chase receiver. And, you know, you mentioned it. Did the Broncos use him the right way in his time? Probably some, probably not a lot. Obviously, the quarterback fluctuation doesn't help when you're trying to build consistency with receivers and changing the offensive system every single year.
Three different coaches, right?
Yep.
Fangio, Hackett, Peyton. Three different quarterbacks. Locke, Bridgewater, Russ. So I'm defending him on that. I don't love his attitude. I don't like his tweets and stuff. I don't like that stuff. Texter Smitty just said he's, you know, mentally. Let's see, where is it? Judy isn't mentally mature enough to be a true professional. Remember Thursday Night Football during the pregame? Too many instances in his history. Yeah, but that was the Steve Smith thing. Mm-hmm. When Steve Smith said, I would advise teams against trading for him. Golly.
I mean, that kind of felt more like there was some personal stuff there.
And I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, is that, what is the saying? Is that the pot calling the kettle black? Is that what the saying is?
Yeah.
I watched Steve Smith. I love Steve Smith. Guy had an attitude. He did. He backed it up. He was tough as nails. Wouldn't want to mess with that dude. But he had a little bit of an attitude. I think it's interesting in this day and age to media members. They be, you know, guys that played the game. They hate the media. They're mean. They're loud. All that stuff. And then they turn up and they're in the media. And then their takes suddenly fall in line with media members. And it's like, wait, when you play, that's tough. I mean, it's tough coming from Steve Smith. So you can see why
it's Judy. Here's what the producer's telling you to be your argument. And no, I'm going to let my personal beef get in the way or whatever.
And Judy,
I played the position, so I know everything.
Yeah.
I haven't played in like 7 years, so of course I know what's going on.
And I've always been one of those guys because, you know, I've even had listeners like, you didn't play the game. What do you know? Well, it's like movie critics. You know, you tell me you love a movie. Were you ever in a movie? You could criticize it. You could probably give me a great review. You give me several reviews of movies you're looking into. You don't need to be in it. You review it. You taste a delicious burrito. You don't need to make it.
if it's like a Chipotle place where they actually make it for you?
Then maybe you should.
I've watched every step of this process.
So you probably could. You probably could, but you're not a professional chef.
No.
You don't need to be one for me to take your advice. And I've even said that with players. Just because you played the game doesn't mean your situation was the same. I mean, every offense is so unique. There's so many different things about offenses and clicks. We've seen guys come and go. Remember Randy Moss, one of the greatest receivers of all time, goes to the Raiders and bad. Goes to the Patriots and breaks the single season touchdown record the very next year. So I do think, especially with wide receivers, it's about your product of your environment. And his environment has been the Broncos don't know who the hell they are. So it's weird, Angel. There's a lot of guys, Garrett Bowles, Jerry Jeudy, Russ. Russ just, he was on a downtrend at Seattle. So it's harder for me to just go, oh, this was all the Broncos. He did get better with Sean Payton. But I find myself, when I read that story, you know, about Jeudy getting the money, I didn't hate it like I thought I would, because I went right back to, dude, this is a receiver that has all the talent in the world, but has had no real direction.
You know, going back to when you draft him and you expect him to be wide receiver one, was he ever really looked like that?
No.
By the organization?
No.
Or did Cortland Sutton's emergence with Drew Lock kind of overtake, maybe Cortland's going to be our one receiver, or Tim Patrick, or these other guys will come up.
Well,
it was always kind of, we're waiting for Jerry to step into that role. It was never kind of, not given to him, but kind of expected of him.
Yeah, I think they drafted him. When you're drafted that high, they expect you to be a number one pretty quickly, but Cortland Sutton was kind of emerging right at that point too.
Yep.
So then he kind of took over the one spot, and again, Drew Lock was his quarterback. And I like Drew Lock. I'm defending the guy. The Broncos treated Drew Lock like crap. They didn't use him the right way. Vic Fangio, a defensive-minded guy that wants to manage the game offensively, has Drew Lock and Jerry Jeudy. That guy doesn't deserve those toys. He doesn't deserve those. And then he goes and gets Teddy Bridgewater. Check down Teddy. They call him that for a reason. Oh, and then Russ. Another check down guy who became that, who was really check downy, really check downy once he got to Denver. That was his thing. Who struggles in a check down offense? Wide receivers,
yeah.
Running backs, tight ends. Woohoo! This is fun. This is a great time. Samaje Perine, anyone? But wide receivers struggle in checkdown offenses. There's a reason why Cortland Sutton was on the uptick for a while, and then as Vic Fangio came in, it started to get worse. 21 minutes after the hour. We're going to have Mark Johnson on the program in a moment. Talk about this game tonight. It's a big one. CU, Boise State, going at it for a chance to play on Friday in the real deal. I'm not trying to diminish the first four, but the real deal starts tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And CU's trying to get in on Friday. We'll talk to Mark coming up a little bit later. Tom Izzo, critical of college basketball, of the selection committee, even though Michigan State benefited from the flaws of the system. We'll get into some of that. Nuggets win over the Timberwolves. Let's look at the NBA standings. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
What a night for the Denver Nuggets. People didn't believe me on this, by the way. I said I recorded the Nuggets game. I didn't want any spoilers, so I went back and watched it. Chris Abshire, who was in here with Bruce Dick, said, how did you not know you were on Twitter all night tweeting about the CSU game? Because my Twitter feed was full of CSU. Nothing but CSU stuff.
Well, you could tweet and just stay on your profile.
Yeah, I was all on my profile. I didn't care what all these other Yahoos had to say. You know? Although there was some good stuff coming out last night, I got to admit. I'll admit, I knew the Nuggets were up and blew a lead to Minnesota in the third. I did know that.
Third quarter Nuggets.
I did know that.
That happened.
But I recorded the whole game, and I'll admit, I watched the first half on, I was on speed, basically, watching the first half. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Once I got the second half, I dialed in a little bit more. Because it was late, man. And then I had this one guy on X that's like, dude, don't you have dual screens? And I do. I set them up on dual screens. But when I'm dialed in and it's like, you know, I'm keying in on a certain game, I get too distracted to focus on one. So it's difficult for me to do that, Angel.
Oh, I dual screen.
I can't.
I just have one muted. And then when the first one, whatever one starts first, that gets the volume. And then once it goes to halftime, mute it, cut the other one on, and then just back and forth.
I like to watch. When I watch sports, it's almost like I'm watching a movie. So for me, it's like watching two movies at once. I like to watch the story develop of what this game is. You know, what's really going on with Isaiah Stevens and what's going on with Joel Scott down there in the paint. And then when I go to the Minnesota game, it's like a different movie for me. That's because my brain is too slow to process. It's not that we don't have enough money to buy a couple of screens and have a cell phone and a computer. I have a lot of screens, man. I'm in front of screens all day, every day.
It's a lot of blue light in your eyes.
It's a lot of blue light. It's probably why I'm losing, you know, my eyesight again. It's getting blurry on me. Is that you, Angel? Or is that okay?
It's buzzing.
You. No, just you. Just making sure it's you. The eyesight's giving.
Oh, it's like I hear a buzzing.
Didn't
that,
land.
Is that a concern?
I don't know. Could be. This team just found a way, though. But I'm telling you, that game last night reminded me of Game 5 in the first round against Minnesota. Minnesota won't die.
No, and I was seeing comments like, oh, Anthony Edwards almost hit that shot. Like, just like he almost hit the shot in Game 5.
The Nuggets just find a way. I still think they play with their food at times, but they're bored. They are ready for the freaking playoffs. What do we have?
13.
Can we go? Come on.
I mean, I'm enjoying the Michael Porter Jr. show.
Well, yeah, you got to feel good about life. Okay, but you're not... He's not a superstar yet.
No, I'm not saying he is, but I'm
not saying you
it.
Are. But I was seeing like a couple of Nuggets insider guys and some guys that want to be insider guys are like, I love being right about Michael Porter Jr. I'm going to say it like I say it about Jamal. Call me when he does it all year for 2 years in a row.
Until Malone gives him the player of the game chain afterwards, I won't brag too much.
Yeah.
Because he just gets snubbed by that every night.
He did have a nice game, though, and he's lighting it up. He's got confidence in that shot like never before. 26 points for him, 4 of 7 from the three-point line. Joker, 35 points and 16 boards. He didn't need assists last night. He was taking matters into his own hands.
Yeah, Another guy that's kind of been lighting it up in the last couple games is Christian Brown.
Yes,
he's starting to find his confidence again, which is great to see. Maybe kind of help along Peyton Watson, who's still a little bit raw out there at times.
He only had the three last night for Brown, but we have seen the last 2 weeks those two guys picking it up a little bit. And I think that that's a great sign going forward.
Seeing more stuff out of Holiday, he's getting more playing minutes.
Let me ask you this. Is this the lineup? You got your starting five. They played four guys with significant minutes in a close game, and that was Peyton Watson, that was Justin Holiday, that was Reggie Jackson, and that was Christian Brown. Is that the playoff rotation, or do they tighten that up?
I could see them going three deep. I could also see them going four. I think for now, you're seeing what's going to happen with Holiday and Jackson. Who do you feel better about?
Between those two guys?
Yes.
You think Brown's got his spot in the playoff rotation?
Brown and Watson are in there. And then depending on if Holiday keeps lighting it up, okay, we're going to go three.
Mm.
But if it's still kind of neck and neck, 50-50 Fangio coin toss, then let's just go four.
Well,
because Jamal's going to be out there with the bench unit anyway.
Yeah, they're going to stagger, and they're going to do a lot more of that in the playoffs. They're going to do a lot more staggering. There's going to be a lot more minutes to go around for the starters. So with that win, Denver moves up one full game ahead of the Timberwolves, and they're tied with OKC. It says games back, nothing. Like there's not even a zero there.
Yeah, OKC just has the tiebreaker right now, and they have the Jazz tonight.
Yeah, that's a. You know, you look at the Jazz.
Come on, Jazz.
Yeah, Let's go on, man.
You don't want to. Hey, you got a bunch of slander this week because of that dunk. So, redeem yourself.
They're 6.5 games out of the play-in with what 13 on average games left. They're probably out, but hey, go fight for something. Get to win number 30 tonight. How about that, Utah? 32 minutes after the hour. Colorado, Boise State, Dayton, Ohio. First four, can the Buffs get past the Broncos? Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Such an exciting time in sports. The last night was huge. You know, Nuggets winning, Avs winning, Rams winning over Virginia. That was a big story, obviously. We'll get back into some of that later on in the program. But it's a big one tonight. You know, now the Buffs, see if they can get past this play-in game and move on to a Friday game in March Madness. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Mark, you're gearing up, man. Hey, I've been enjoying your videos that you do when you're walking to the arena. I really love that, man. It's great. You got me hooked.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I wasn't going to do one, but now that you said that, I'll do one.
Well, now you have to, Mark. You have to, man.
Hey, by the way, the best social media post regarding the Rams Virginia game I saw last night.
Yeah.
Some guy tweeted out a picture of a guy wearing a T-shirt. And the T-shirt said, "Virginia basketball is Iowa football." Isn't that fantastic?
Well, and I agree with that, too. I said this today, and people disagree with me. I said Virginia's also Air Force because it's a system. It's all about a system and a buy-in to a belief of a system, and you can't be, you know, one guy by itself, too. But, yes, that T-shirt was fantastic. Somebody's planning
ahead. You know, it's stunning, and there were teams like Pitt and St. John's and Seton Hall and Providence that were just steaming last night, stewing, watching Virginia just embarrass itself. So, hey, fantastic for the Rams. They went out there and played against, basically a stiff breeze last night. But good for them. And Virginia, that was awful embarrassing. There were a lot of teams because of representatives. It's good for the Rams.
Mark, I'm watching the game, and I kept thinking that I must have paused it or was rewinding the game or something because Virginia was just stuck on 14 for like 475 hours. I mean, I was like, what? Is there a glitch? Are they not updating the score here? Do they know where the basket is? I hate to be that guy, but that was pretty bad. That felt like a set basketball back, Mark.
It was so stunning. Here at the hotel we're staying at in Dayton, they did not have True TV like everybody else. Hmm. And so I dialed up the Varsity Network app and had our friend Brian on. I was listening to broadcast, and I'd leave the room and come back, and I'd leave the room and come back, and I kept going, What's happened to Brian? Why does he keep saying the score hasn't changed? What is he not doing? Well, then I looked it up. I'm like, holy crap, they haven't scored for like an hour. Literally, an hour went by before they scored.
Isn't that nuts? I mean, yeah, crazy. 25% worse by an ACC team in the tournament in the last 40-some seasons. They had 14 points in the first half. I mean, that's just bad territory. So then, of course, we're hearing like Tom Izzo come out today and talk about how he benefited this year from the way the selection committee did some things. But obviously the Buffs and the Rams, I thought the Buffs were going to be in. All they needed to do was win the first round of the Pac-12 tournament, Mark. But obviously they needed to do exactly what they did just to get in the play-in. So the Buffs, the Rams, kind of both feeling that snub. But I don't really know what changes could be made. I've always kind of been of the mindset, Mark, you just take your lumps. It's not, life's not fair. It's March Madness.
Well, without question. And, you know, one of the issues became that the last 3 days of play, you know, throughout the conference tournaments were so insane. It was as volatile as we've ever seen in terms of the bubble. And so it expanded things. And, you know, and I know, you know, the Rams apparently were the last team put in the tournament. Colorado was obviously in the last handful as well. But, you know, it is what it is. And so you got an opportunity. I saw a stat that 12 teams who have played in the first or the final, or the first four, I guess it's called, have gone on to the Sweet 16 or better, including UCLA just a few years ago went to the Final Four. So you've got an opportunity. And I liked, you know, I know there were certain teams around the country that were very harsh about being here. I know that Leon Rice was not happy from Boise, whom we're going to see tonight. And obviously Nico Medved, the guys up in Fort Collins, weren't terribly happy about it. I thought Tan handled it very well. I thought he was very even-keeled. In fact, I'm standing in his house when it came on the screen, and as Tan told the story, you know, you see your name, so you don't even notice the fact there's somebody next to it. But he let out a yell and really kind of led the charge with the team and didn't even give them a chance to react. He was reacting so positively, they followed suit. And so, listen, you're in the dance. You've got a chance. That's all you ask for. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to this. I expect Boise to give a little bit stiffer competition than we saw from Virginia last night for the Rams. I think this is going to be a heck of a ballgame tonight, and it's really going to be physical. I think Boise is a very good team. Obviously, Rams fans saw them a couple of times this season. And, you know, I think it's going to be a heck of a game tonight.
Yeah, I think Boise's like, hey, why didn't we get what CSU got? We want the Virginia thing. Let's switch it up here. I mean, CU's been red hot the last, what, Mark? Yeah. I mean, the last month. Yeah. It's been so fun. Yeah, you and I were talking like, hey, what do the Buffs need to do? What do they need to do? And it was, other than that Pac-12 championship, which was close, you know, this team has been just on fire.
Yep, and that's what you want this time of year. You want to be playing your best basketball. Colorado, so with the loss to Oregon, which is playing its best basketball, and they had a heck of a game on Saturday night in Las Vegas. They won 8 of their last 9. They're playing great basketball, and so they got a chance tonight to, you know, move on to Indianapolis and maybe play Florida on Friday afternoon, and so we hope that's the case. But, you know, let's see what goes down between the Buffs and the Broncos tonight.
How does this matchup look to you, Mark? I know you're going to give us that rundown before the game tonight, but when you look at Boise State, obviously, you know, they have a lot of big-time players. But the Buffs, I mean, you're looking at guys that will probably, a lot of guys on that roster will be playing in the NBA.
Yep, well, without question. I think it's an interesting matchup. Think Pac-12 semifinal. I think Boise's a little similar to Washington State. They've got very good size. You know, they'll run a lineup out there. Max Rice might be the smallest guy on the court at about 6'5". They don't have what you call an earth mover, where they got a 6'11", 270-pound guy, but they've got a bunch of 6'7", 6'8", 230-pound guys, you know, all around, including Dagenhart was on West selection. I think he's a unique, very crafty, skilled kind of guy that really uses his angles. Omar Stanley, you know, is a body out there that Eddie's going to have to chase perimeter a little bit because he'll shoot the three every once in a while. And so, you know, they've got Abbo, who's a pretty darn good three-point shooter as well. So they've got some talent. And I do think they play kind of a physical style, a little bit like Washington State. And so maybe they're not going to out-athletic you. But what they'll do, they'll get physical, they'll get up into your body, they rake across the ball a lot, which means ball security is going to be real big. And then they've been a very good rebounding team, just like Colorado. Both teams are +7 or above in terms of rebounding. And so I think physical basketball game, this is going to be one of those backyard brawl kind of games, I think.
So who do you, when you look at this for CU, as far as, hey, whose night could this be? I'm big on that. When I look at matchups and go, okay, especially when you're the Buffs and you have a lot of guys on your roster that can go off and do something special. When you look at the matchup, Mark, I mean, who do you think sticks out for the Buffs that could really take advantage of Boise State's style of play?
Well, to me, there's two guys. I'm going to go KJ Simpson. Watch KJ. He is one of the quicker players in America, and so keep an eye on him. That battle they've got with Roddy Anderson will probably be front and center, I think, tonight. So watch KJ tonight. And then watch Eddie Lampkin. Eddie is so big. Yes, he's going to have to chase a guy like Omar Stanley out on the perimeter. But on the offensive end, they've got to deal with his size as well. And if Eddie's disciplined tonight and gets good posts and good seals and good duck-ins, under the basket, I think he could have a very nice game for Colorado tonight.
Oh, I am a big Eddie Lampkin fan. Mark, what is he like in person?
Eddie is, you've heard that old line, marching to the beat of a different drummer.
Yeah.
Eddie's got a unique way of looking at the world. It's a very jovial, it's a very positive sort of way. You've heard me say it during our broadcast, I wonder who Eddie's talking to and what he's saying, because he's talking all the time. And, you know, he walks by me yesterday, you know, I'm up with the team, walks by, what's up, big fella? You know, he says to me, he walks by. And so he's always got something to say. He's always talking. He's got a real positive way about himself, but he's just got a different way of looking at everything. And so he's a lot of fun. What you see on the court is exactly what he is, kind of that outgoing, nonstop talking kind of deal. That's his deal, man. And I think he can have a real nice game tonight, as big as he is. And he can overpower some of these bodies. Yes, they've got size. They don't have, you know, think of the Oregon game the other night where you've got Eddie Lampkin out there against Infale Dante. Those are two big earth movers, man. Those are 6'11", 7', 275-pound athletes. Boise doesn't have that guy, and so I think he could be real effective tonight.
Yeah, I think you're right. Eddie Lampkin is one of those guys. I liked watching him with TCU, and obviously this transition. It's been a slower transition because of the back issue, the surgery and stuff in the summer and all that, but you've seen it over the year. It just kind of becomes a bigger and bigger piece to this puzzle for the Buffs. And, Mark, I love what you brought up, too, going back to it, about how Ted Boyle kind of set the tone about getting into the play-in game. You know, you're in. And I think Tad's been around long enough to know, hey, I think when I had him on last week, Mark, he's like, hey, some years I think we're going to be in and we're not. Some years I don't think we're going to be in and we're in. Yep. So I'm not surprised. I'm not really disappointed. It is what it is.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the hallway yesterday, you know, we're talking about being there and how cool it is. And he says, Mark, fans don't understand how hard it is to get into this tournament. And he's absolutely right. You got 32 automatic bids. So there's essentially half the field is taken up right there. There are a lot of good college basketball teams. With what we're dealing with now in the transfer portal, the number of good teams has even increased. And it's not easy to get here. So when you get here, I don't care if you have to beg, borrow, and steal. Once you get that invitation, you take it with a smile on your face. And go. That he's taken.
Mark Johnson, always appreciate you, my man. What time do you get rocking and rolling with pregame coverage tonight?
Boy, it's a light one. We're going to tip this one off. They say at 9:10 Mountain Time. Or I beg your pardon, that's 9:10 out here. I get it backwards. So 7:10 in the Mountain Time zone, which means we get underway at 6:30 tonight. And my guess is it'll be later than that. You know the way these tournaments go. If they say it's 7:10 Mountain Time, it's probably going to be closer to 7:20 or 7:30 by the time we get things underway. But we will take the air at 6:30 Mountain Time.
All right, man. Let's keep this rolling, Mark. You know, hey, you know me. I cover a lot of CSU stuff, and so there are a lot of Rams listeners that follow me that are saying, hey, they're rooting for Boise because it's the conference. That's not me. This is where I walk a different path, Mark. I'm lonely. I walk in a different road than everybody else. I'm saying go Buffs, obviously, because you'd beat me up if I didn't. And also, I think Tad Boyle might figure out a way to come after me, too. So,
I fully understand. By the way, let me throw this out real quick. Depending on how you normally would listen to the game, obviously we're over the air on the radio stations. This time of year, by the way, because of NCAA restrictions with their deal with CBS, the only way that you can listen to the streaming broadcast tonight is on the Barstool Network app. That's the only place. If you go on to some of our radio affiliates, you cannot do that any longer. The only way you can listen online is on the Varsity Network app. So if that's your deal, make sure you go there tonight.
All right, Mark, we're gonna find it and we're gonna be listening. Hey, what wins in a fight, a buffalo or a bronco?
Well, I think that, you know, and you know, I've got an affinity for horses. I'm going to go, you know, with the buffalo is, would be, you know, a good sized horse is going to run you about 1,250 pounds, right? That's a pretty darn good size, maybe 1,300 pounds. Buffalo is going to be 2,000 pounds. So I'm going to go with the buffalo in this case. And that's going against my heart because I love horses so much, but we'll go with the buff tonight, so that I'd have to give them, just based on physics alone, that they're going
to
win.
Well, I had to ask because this is a blue bronco that has mean eyes, too, so that does provide a different element.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't a Denver bronco, for goodness sake.
Although
this
the colors are there, pretty much,
They are, but, you know, the Broncos steed that they run across the field is a nice-looking white or dark gray or other gray horse where it's not that crazy thing out of DIA.
Yeah, oh, my goodness, right? No, and that's more like the Boise State Bronco, to be honest. You're exactly right. Mark,
exactly,
my man,
right.
Appreciate you as always. Looking forward to the call. Let's go, Buffs. Let's get this dub.
There we go. I like it. We'll talk to you later.
All right, there's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. That was hard for him. That one was difficult for him because Mark Johnson is, he's like Kevin Costner. He's the horse whisperer. He's Yellowstone. He's open range. He's that guy. But I do think that this is when you know Mark's not feeding you BS. A buffalo would beat a bronco in a one-on-one fight, Angel. It's just, that's the way it is. Although the Boise State Bronco does look like a minion from hell, kind of. So he does have that going for him. But I still think the Buffalo wins. 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Coming up in the final hour of the program, we got buy or sell. I got a quick question for you about the Broncos. Think about it. Just think about it. Bowers, if he's there, or Nix/other quarterback. Who are you taking at 12? Big-time decisions for a franchise that's trying to start doing some big-time things. We'll be right back.
Get your game day forecast with meteorologist Cody Wilson. Fridays on Good Morning NoCo, only on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show on the Rocks Liquor. I've seen a lot of victory posts last night. A lot of people taking pictures of what they're drinking or whatever, and people are excited. And Rams fans, you should be excited. Well, stop by on the Rocks Liquor. You're going to take in this Buffs game tonight, and maybe you want to get a six-pack of your favorite beverage to bring some good luck or just to maybe ease the stress a bit. On the Rocks Liquor has a great selection. John and Tony, husband and wife duo, they've been a sponsor of mine since we started this program, since we started a variation of this program. So do me a favor, if you like the show, if you like live and local sports talk that nobody else is doing in this state, then you got to go to On the Rocks Liquor, make your next celebration on the rocks. I'm just going to throw it out. I don't like to promote a lot of radio, other guys in radio, but I got to say the name, my boy D-Mac Angel. We've had him on this show before. Got a little roasted last night. Did you see that?
I did see that.
You got to know what's on, man. Just got to know what's on. His video, and again, I love D-Mac. I got massive respect for that man. But he did say, hey, big night tonight. Buffs, Nuggets, and Avs, and Rams fans.
I mean, he had the game on, at least.
Yeah. It's just, listen, sometimes, I believe it or not, I screw up. It happens sometimes. But some of the personal attacks are just so stupid. Like, there's personal attacks on there about family and stuff. It's like, yeah, come on. Leave it to sports. But honest mistake. And you know what's cool is, like, that man responds to so many people and just says, I screwed up. I corrected it. He doesn't respond to the personal stuff in a bad way. He doesn't escalate it. So mistakes happen.
Well, if you have the check mark, you can edit the tweet.
Did he have the check mark?
I don't know.
I don't know if he did. But you know what? Mistakes happen. Buffs are tonight, though. Buffs, Broncos. We'll give you our picks on that one later on in the show. We got the final hour coming up. Buy or sell. coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios.